It's not always easy to recognize that the Christian gospel creates a disturbance in the world. Every one of us who know anything about the word Christian at all are inclined to think that's such a good thing. And certainly of the Christians that we know, we'd be so much inclined to think the world would be better off if there were more Christians. I expect you feel that way with your own family. Doubtless you feel in your own family that you would be so much better off if there were more Christians in the family. Perhaps if those of you who are Christians were better Christians, wouldn't that seem good? And when you think in your own heart and mind as to what being a Christian is, wouldn't you be inclined to feel that everybody in the community would surely want Christians to prosper? These men who trust God, these men who have no personal ambition, these men who want only to please God and to help their fellow man, these men who are honest and sincere and humble and trustworthy and decent and clean, aren't these men really the kind of men we would want? And yet the history of the gospel shows in a remarkable way that the very opposition which was against the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here upon earth is against the Christian gospel even to this present day. At the time we were studying the things that pertain to the Lord Jesus himself, we were noticing again and again what an astonishing thing it was that the leaders of the religious life of the community were opposed to him. And actually, it was the high priest and his fellow leaders that actually connived and planned to put him to death. That's astonishing. And when we have been reading in the early chapters of the book of Acts, we find that the chief priests and the Pharisees, the scribes, and the leaders were the very people that opposed the apostles and tried to shut them up, tried to prevent them from preaching. It seems astonishing. And then when you consider what a man Stephen was, full of the Holy Spirit, and how with humbleness and wisdom he preached the gospel, and you consider that there were people opposed to him, lied about him, and finally actually killed him, it's astonishing. It's just almost unbelievable. But it's true. You and I shouldn't miss that, because we should be very careful that we do not accept the public attitude with reference to the Christian gospel. If you and I are not careful, we will be inclined to accept as proper the things that the public will pass, and to feel that anything that the public will criticize must in some way be faulty. Now that's not true. And this all comes to our mind when we are now in the book of Acts at the 8th chapter. If you will open your Bibles in the book of Acts at chapter 8, we're going to see that the opposition which was focused upon Stephen until they killed him continued against the church as a whole. I want to show you in these first few verses of the 8th chapter just how it went back in those days. In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, beginning at the first verse, we read, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." I expect, so far as an ordinary statement is concerned, that would hardly attract attention if those of us who read and study the Bible were not conscious of the fact that this man became the Apostle Paul. He became the greatest, possibly the greatest, most important servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in the early church. But at this time, he consented to the martyrdom of Stephen. He consented to seeing Stephen stoned to death. And now I read on in chapter 8, verse 1. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." That's what I was talking about. A great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Who were they hurting? Who were they troubling? Were they taking anybody's money? Were they interfering with anybody's ways? Were they causing anybody hurt or harm? And you have to just think to yourself, the only people they were troubling were the people who had a position in the religious life in the community. And these people felt that the status quo, the arrangements in the community, were being upset by these new ideas, the ideas of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing of interest to me, though, is there wouldn't be a great persecution against the church if it just depended upon the leaders. It meant that the common people would follow their leaders against the church. We find that amongst us today. Sometimes we hear and come to know of a certain presentation of the gospel presented in a certain way by a certain person, we'll say, or by a certain group of people. And here is a school of thought that presents the gospel very urgently and very definitely before the people. There can grow up in the church, in any congregation, a bitter, settled opposition against these views by people who never have read them. They don't know a thing that they're talking about. The only thing is they have their names, and they have the name of these ideas or the name of these doctrines, and they're just against it. And they can be bitter against it. They can be so much a thing in a congregation, you can have such a feeling against certain point of view, that if a certain man, for instance, I can remember an incident actually occurred. A man was proposed to be nominated to be elected as a deacon in a church. When his name came up before the nominating committee, and he was a man that everybody admitted was a good man, he was a Sunday school teacher, and in every way qualified for the position of deacon in that church, somebody said about him that he held certain views about the Bible, that he associated with people who held these views about the Bible. Now, these views weren't bad. These views were not the kind of thing that would cause a man to be called evil at all. There were a certain kind of emphasis about the Bible. And because that word was said, that whole committee turned that man down. And the interesting thing is that on that committee, I happen to know, they had no idea what those things were. They only knew that the word was out that anybody who held those things was wrong, down with him. That kind of thing. Well, if it's in a church, it's one thing. It can happen even in your own family. Right in your own family, you can be surprised to find the attitude of resistance, opposition, criticism, and mean spirit that can be leveled against people in that family who are sincere church-going people, earnest praying people, Bible-reading people. Oh, the bitterness with which some people oppose others for no other reason than they regularly read their Bible, they regularly pray, they regularly go to church, and they definitely take part in the church. That's enough to make some other people just be bitter against them. And that's how it was here. A great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So much so that they had to leave the city. And so we read, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And that little note is just left there. They didn't leave. The apostles stayed in the city of Jerusalem. But the common people among the Christians just had to leave the city. Now look at verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. It was a widespread scandal to think that that good man Stephen had been stoned to death for no other reason in the world than that he said he saw the Lord Jesus in this very presence of God. Now verse 3. As for Saul, this name comes back again, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Here is a man who is just, as he himself afterwards said, exceedingly mad against anybody who had the gospel, just opposing it and making life miserable for people who believed. He was young, he was active, he was strong, he was brilliant, and he was prejudiced. He was against the whole thing. Verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Here's an amazing thing. Everything I've said to you now as you go through those first three verses is a sort of a dark picture. It's a kind of a tragic thing to think that just because men believe in the Lord, they're in trouble. And just because they give witness, they're in trouble. And just because they say they believe, they're in trouble. And just because they say the Lord Jesus is real, they're in trouble. That seems so bad. And that this opposition, needless, senseless, blind, ignorant, prejudiced opposition, should be able to push them out, as it did. And believe me, it does to this day. Every now and again, you know, you hear of where some family or some couple have had to leave a church. And right away, we're all tempted to be critical of them because they left the church. And I feel like saying to every one of us, you and I don't know what some people have to put up with. You don't know how they're treated because of some stand that they have taken in that church and the position that they have had. These folks were driven out, driven from their homes, and they were scattered abroad. That's like people driven out of congregations, driven away from the fellowship of other people because of their testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And you know what really happened? The gospel spread. If they had all stayed in that one place, it wouldn't have spread nearly as fast. They were obliged to get out, and when they got out, they took the gospel with them. You know what this incident often makes me think of? I just have a feeling as if I could see some person who was trying to dispose of a fire, trying to destroy a place where a fire had been burning. And he rakes together all the coals into a pile. And there is a pile of live coals, burning coals. Then, as if some giant took a great big shovel and scooped up all these coals and, turning around, flung them far and wide, as if by that he was going to destroy the fire. And you can imagine these coals thrown out over the whole countryside by some giant power, just throwing them out as if to destroy them. You know what happens? Every place they land, a fire starts. And instead of putting the fire out, it actually spreads it. Now, that has happened over and over and over again. We won't have time just now to give you all the evidence, but it's a common saying that the blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And the very action taken to stop the gospel really amounted to spreading it further. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to thy servants who are faithful to the truth. We pray thy blessing upon the men and the women and the young people who want to maintain a clear testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Add thy blessing to the Sunday school teachers who try to teach the gospel in their classes. Add thy blessing to the officers of the church, the elders and the deacons, who are trying to hold out the things that are true in the gospel for the people. And bless us all to be faithful. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.